Chapter 4. The Tin Box. It seemed a long time to the four children before Joe and Alice came home, but at last they drove up to the front door in a new station wagon. "It's Joe!" shouted Benny. "He's got a new station wagon!" He ran down the steps. "Oh, Joe, why did you buy a station wagon when there are only two of you?"
"Guess," said Joe, laughing.
He jumped out and gave his hand to his beautiful young wife. Then the other children ran out to see Joe and Alice. Everyone was laughing and talking at once. They took bags and boxes and went into the house. Watch barked and jumped around to show how glad he was to see Joe again.
"I bet you got a station wagon so we could go too," cried Benny.
"That's right," said Alice, smiling at him. "Won't we have a lot of fun in that station wagon?"
"We know where to go first," Benny went on. "Want us to tell you?"
"Children, children, do let Alice sit down 1 minute," said Mr. Alden as he came out into the hall. "You have lots of time, you know. Come in, Alice, and let them talk." But the children could not wait. Before they knew it, they were telling all about the mystery of the little yellow house.
"What a story," said Joe. "I've wondered about that house myself. I'd like to go inside."
"We waited for you to go with us," said Henry.
"Will you both go?" asked Jessie.
"Of course we will," said Alice.
Joe laughed. "Well," he said, "it looks as if we would go right back to Surprise Island."
"Today?" cried Benny.
"Yes, today," said Joe and Alice together. Mr. Alden laughed. "Let's have lunch first," he said.
"You're right, Grandfather," said Violet. "Alice ought to see the presents in her house. Beautiful dishes and things. They came after the wedding, Alice."
"Lots of food, too," said Benny. "All in tin cans. A whole ham and whole chickens and things. But won't you eat lunch with us just today?"
"Of course we will," said Joe. "You can show us the tin cans when we come back from the island. How will that be?"
"Fine," said Benny. "We can go to the dock in the new station wagon."
"I guess Captain Daniel will be surprised to see us."
"I guess so, too," laughed Joe. "We just said goodbye to him."
Soon it was time for lunch. Henry was thinking what to take to the yellow house.
"I shall take my tools," he said to Jessie as he sat beside her at the table.
"Maybe we'll need them."
"I don't think of anything else, do you?"
"A flashlight," said Joe, who had heard them. "There aren't any lights there."
"Oh, thank you, Joe," cried Jessie. "I'm glad you don't think we are silly to go."
"Indeed I don't. It sounds very interesting. Alice thinks so, too."
"You did pick out a very nice girl," said Benny.
"Thank you, Benny," said Alice, laughing.
"Is there room for me?" asked Mr. Alden, to everyone's surprise.
"Room for you," said Violet, going over to her grandfather.
"There's always room for you." Just the same, they were all surprised and delighted that Mr. Alden wanted to go.
"There are chairs for you to sit in," said Benny. "I saw them through the window. Oh, I wish we were there this minute."
In about an hour, Benny had his wish. The whole family left the boat at the dock on Surprise Island and now stood at the front steps of the little yellow house. They went up the four wooden steps. Mr. Alden himself opened the door. They went in the front room and looked around. There was a table in the middle of the room. Old papers were on it. There was a fireplace with a brick chimney painted white on one side of the room. There was a desk on the other side. Everything was covered with dust.
"This is the very room where Bill sat reading the paper, Joe," said Henry.
"The queer grating noise came from this room," said Jessie.
"Now," began Henry, "let's look around and see what could make a grating noise."
"The drawer in the table," said Alice.
"The drawers in the desk," said Mr. Alden. "The boards in the floor," said Jesse.
"The chimney," said Benny.
Everyone looked at the strong brick chimney and smiled at the little boy. But Henry said kindly, "That's right, Benny."
"We'll look at every brick," said Benny.
"Yes, you look at every brick," said Jesse.
"You remember the police looked down the chimney with a light, Benny?"
"Yes, I remember. But they looked at the floorboards, too, and all the other things you said."
"That's right, too," said Joe.
"Now, what's first?"
"The table drawer," said Henry, pulling it out.
"Not much here."
"It grates when you pull it," said Alice.
There were two pens in the drawer, two fish hooks, and an old paintbrush.
"The paint!" shouted Henry.
"I don't think this is paint, though," said Joe.
He smelled of the paintbrush.
"I think this is whitewash."
Everyone was excited.
"Maybe we'll find something new after all, Grandfather," said Jesse. "Did the police know this was whitewash?"
"No, I don't think so," replied Mr. Alden.
"They would have taken the paintbrush with them if they had thought it was a clue. The police did not work as well in those days as they do now. You can take the drawer to pieces if you want. Something may be hidden in the cracks."
Henry tapped the drawer with his hammer and soon took off the sides, but there was nothing there.
"The desk next," said Mr. Alden. "Two drawers in that."
"Maybe a secret drawer," said Joe.
They took out both drawers and put them on the table. "A pen, some old writing paper. That's all," said Henry.
"Now look at the floorboard," said Jesse. "We can take up the rugs."
There were two small rugs. Joe looked at them carefully. Then he rolled them up and put them on a chair. The whole family went to work. Mr. Alden sat and watched. Each one took a stick and looked in every crack. Up and down the room they went on their hands and knees. At last, Joe said, "All done. I don't think these floorboards have been moved. I don't think the clue is there."
"Well, then, my chimney," shouted Benny.
Every brick."
"That will take many days," said Henry, laughing.
"First we'll tap every brick. You all listen and see if any brick sounds different from the others."
"Let me tap," said Benny. "I thought of the chimney."
"Well," said Joe, "let him tap, Henry. Let me show you, Ben. Tap like this."
Joe struck a brick lightly once or twice. Benny got down on the floor. He started with the first brick. Tap, 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 went his hammer. Then he took the next brick. He tapped just the way Joe had shown him. At last, the family sat down, smiling. There were so many bricks.
Suddenly, Jessie jumped up.
"I think that one sounds different," she said. She got down beside Benny.
"I don't," said Henry. "Tap it again, Benny."
Tap, 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 went the hammer.
"Well, maybe not," said Jesse. "I thought it did the first time."
In a few minutes, Violet said, "Listen again to that one. That one sounds different to me."
"It's right over the first one, Violet," said Benny. "Right over the one Jesse heard."
But it did not sound different to anyone else.
"Go on, my boy," said Mr. Alden, leaning forward.
"Keep on tapping."
The children all looked up at their grandfather. They were surprised to see that he was excited and very white. Benny began on another row of bricks. Then it was Mr. Alden himself who said, "Stop there. Tap again."
"That last one is different," cried Joe. "Give me the hammer a minute, Ben." But Joe did not use the hammer. He just looked at the brick. Benny was looking at it, too.
"Whitewash," he whispered.
"Whitewash," said Joe. "I do believe that this brick has been taken out and put back again."
"Can you take it out, Joe?" Alice asked excitedly.
I'm going to try, answered Joe. We don't want the whole chimney to come down. Here's the screwdriver, said Benny. Just what I want, cried Joe. Yes, this brick has certainly been taken out. He put the screwdriver at the edge of the brick and tapped it with the hammer. Out came dried whitewash.
What did I tell you? Cried Benny. New whitewash, not like the old.
More dried whitewash fell out with every tap of the hammer. This has certainly been painted to look like the other brick, said Joe. But the whitewash is different.
Now pull it out, Joe, shouted Benny.
Joe took hold of the brick and pulled. It made a queer grating noise as he worked it out. At last it came out and fell on the floor.
Look in the hole! Look in the hole! Yelled Benny. There's a letter in the hole.
Joe could hardly believe what he saw. But there was the letter. He took it out and read it. What in the world does this mean, Uncle James? He asked as he handed it to Mr. Alden.
Read it aloud, cried the children.
Mr. Alden read. Dear Bill, thanks for the money. I can make it 3 times as much if you will help me. Some friends of mine know how. Meet me at your little house in Maine, Bear Trail. Then you can pay Mr. A and get your part of the rest, sure. Look in the tin box. Hide this. S. M.
Well, my dears, said Mr. Alden, now we have a real mystery.
Jesse said, and we don't know any more than we did.
Bear Trail, said Benny. I wonder where that is.
Chapter 5, The Next Move. Mr. Alden read the letter again. Then he said, Jesse, you say we don't know any more than we did, but I think we do.
Right, said Jesse, laughing. I think so myself now. We know there is something up in Maine, anyway.
Yes, and we know more than that, said her grandfather.
I had better tell you one other thing. Just before Bill disappeared, he sold 2 fine racehorses for your great-grandfather, but he never paid over the money. He kept saying he would, but he never did.
I always thought his brother got it away from him, and Bill went away to get it back. I may be wrong.
Joe said, Maybe Bill was afraid to come back without the money.
That's what we thought, said Mr. Alden. You see, the week after Bill disappeared, his brother Sam was killed by a car, so he couldn't help us find Bill.
Did Mrs. McGregor know about the racehorses and the money? Asked Jesse.
Yes, poor Margaret. She never got over it, answered Mr. Alden. But she never thought Bill took the money.
We know more than that, Uncle James, said Joe. We know it has something to do with Bear Trail.
Do you know what Bear Trail means? Asked Benny.
Yes, I went over Bear Trail when I was 15 years old. Answered Joe.
So you did, my boy, cried Mr. Alden. On that trail, you have to go miles in a canoe and then carry the canoe.
You were very strong when you came back from that first trip.
I liked it so well that later I was a guide for 2 years, said Joe. But I haven't seen Bear Trail for a long time.
Where is this Bear Trail? Asked Alice.
Let's go home, said Joe for an answer. I can show you on the map.
Okay, said Benny. I don't think we'll find any more clues in this room.
When they were driving home, Alice said, I can't think what the little house in Maine means. Bill's yellow house is on Surprise Island.
We'll have to solve the other mysteries first, I guess, said Henry. Then maybe we will understand the rest.
You all sit on the porch while I get the map, said Joe, stopping the station wagon at the front steps. Soon the map was open on the porch table. The children sat around it. Joe began to point with his pen.
Bear Trail starts from the highway right here, he said. Then you come to a lake. Here it is. There is a camp on this lake. Anyway, there used to be.
That's where the canoe comes in? Benny asked.
Right. It's a beautiful trip. I think I know exactly where to go from here. You paddle the canoe as far as you can, then you get out and carry the canoe. The woodsmen call that a carry. You can go miles and miles this way. You don't see a house for days.
Henry looked at his grandfather.
Jesse did the same. Everyone on the porch was looking at Mr. Alden as he sat in his easy chair.
Yes, yes, I know what you want, he said, smiling and nodding his head. You all want to go up to Maine and hunt for Bill.
Yes, that's it, Grandfather, said Benny. But you always let us do things in summer when there isn't any school. Joe and Alice want to go, too.
Mr. Alden looked at Joe sharply. Do you? He asked.
Yes, we really do, said Joe, after looking at Alice. We both love a mystery. We both love camping and canoeing. Alice is a great paddler in a canoe, and I have 2 weeks left before I have to go back to work.
Well, if you want to spend your 2 weeks that way, it's all right with me, said Mr. Alden at last.
He means we can all go, shouted Benny. Don't you, Grandfather?
I suppose so, said Mr. Alden. You'll have to carry a lot of things with you. Those carries are hard work, my boy.
Henry's strong, said Benny. He could carry a lot of things, and so could Alice. She's very strong, too.
Well, well. Thank you, Benny, said Alice, surprised.
We'll all be stronger when we get home, said Henry.
I've been wondering what that letter means, Grandfather. Just as Alice said, your little house in Maine. His yellow house is on Surprise Island.
I don't know myself, said Mr. Alden, but I know that Bill built the yellow house on Surprise Island. He did all the work himself with the help of his brother.
Brother? Does this brother have anything to do with this mystery?
Yes, I'm afraid so, said Mr. Alden. I never liked his brother. He was always in trouble.
You think Bill's brother wrote the letter? Asked Jesse.
I certainly do, said Mr. Alden. I think S.M. means Sam McGregor.
Ho hum, said Benny. Now what does that mean?
Ho hum,
asked Joe, laughing.
It means we better stop talking and get started on this trip, said Benny.
What a family, said Joe, always doing something exciting.
Mr. Alden said, you might as well get some of your things ready right away.
Oh, let's, said Benny, jumping up.
Joe stood up, too, and began to think aloud.
We can get 2 canoes up there, he said slowly.
Do you think you could carry one, Henry, with one of the others to help you?
I'm sure I could, said Henry. We can't take too many things. We'll have to carry food and packs on our backs, won't we?
That's right, said Joe. We can get tents up there, too. There is a store on that first lake where we can buy what food we need for the trip. We don't have to carry the canoes very far.
We can go to Maine in the station wagon, Joe, said Violet softly.
Right, said Joe, smiling at his little cousin. I knew that was a good thing to buy. Now, you children get to work and write down the things you want to take. We can get blankets up there, too.
No, sir. You take blankets from here, Joe, said Mr. Alden suddenly.
Get your clothes and blankets made into packs right here where I can see them. I'm not going to have Violet get cold sleeping in the Maine woods.
Soon there was a great noise around the house. The children ran up and down stairs.
Watch went up and down every time. Then Joe showed them how to make sleeping bags. First, the blankets were put on the floor and folded once. Then they were sewed on one side to make a bag.
Their clothes were put in piles on the blankets. "Now fold them over and over this way," said Joe, "and put these straps around them. I have a lot more straps in my camping things."
"I see," said Benny. "The strap goes around your back. Mine isn't heavy at all. I could carry some bacon and eggs, too."
"Bacon," said Henry, "but no eggs. We can't take eggs, can we, Joe?"
"Not whole eggs," said Joe. "Dried eggs. We can have scrambled eggs, dried milk, and canned milk both."
"Dried everything," said Benny. "I don't care."
Before night came, the family was ready for the trip. Then Joe turned to his uncle. "Don't be worried, Uncle James," he said. "I promise you we will stop and eat on the way up. We'll eat well before we go on the canoe trip. Then we will be all right for a few days, if we don't have so much to eat."
"Good," said Mr. Alden. "Everything is ready, then."
"No," said Jesse. "Nobody has said anything about watch."
"Oh, we can't take the dog," began Joe. "He might tip the canoe over."
Then he looked at the faces of the four children. They were thinking fast. He went on,
"Really, I don't think we had better take watch."
"You're right, Joe," said Henry at last. "We can't take watch. But he will have a good time at home."
"Yes," said Mr. Alden. "Watch will keep me from being lonesome, and I will keep him from being lonesome."
Benny made them all feel better by saying,
"Let's have him stay home, but don't let's tell him he can't go until tomorrow."
Chapter 6. Starting for Camp. It was a pleasant ride to Maine. They ate lunch on the way. Soon after lunch, Joe turned into a bumpy side road and drove carefully through the woods. Suddenly, he pointed ahead to a pretty blue lake on the side of the road. "There is the end of our station wagon ride." The children looked out as he steered the station wagon up to the door of a little store and stopped.
"All out," he said.
"Now for the fun," cried Alice. "What a lot of things we'll buy here." The storekeeper came to the door to see who was stopping.
"You don't remember me, Mr. Long," said Joe, "but I was a guide up here once."
"Sure I remember you. You're Joe Alden. Glad to see you. Going on a canoe trip? These all your children?"
"No," laughed Joe. "This is my new wife, and these are my four young cousins."
"How do you do?" said Benny politely. "Oh, Mr. Long, you have canoes over there."
"I have everything for a canoe trip," said Mr. Long with a smile. "Going three in a canoe? I can fix you up all right. You'll need two. You'll need some tents, too."
They all went into the store.
"Oh, look," cried Benny happily. "All kinds of tin dishes and tin cans. And let's have some pancakes for breakfast."
He took down a box of pancake flour.
"Benny," said Jesse kindly, "I think you'd better let Joe tell us what to buy. He knows what we can carry."
"Well, yes, Jesse," said Joe. "But Benny is right about the pancakes. Just wait until you smell them cooking in the early morning."
Mr. Long put the things in a big bag. Flour, salt, sugar, bacon, dried eggs, canned milk, potatoes, beans, onions, canned fruit, said Alice.
"We won't go hungry with that."
"Tin dishes to eat out of and tin dishes to cook in," said Jesse. They went outdoors to look at canoes.
"I can take care of your station wagon," said Mr. Long. "Just leave it here." He turned over two canoes and helped Joe push them half into the lake. Joe thanked him. Then he said,
"Just a minute, Mr. Long. We want to ask you something before we go. We are really up here to look for an old man who is lost. He would be about 70 years old now, but he has been lost for almost 40 years.
His name is Bill McGregor," said Benny.
"Never heard of him. I'm sorry," said Mr. Long, shaking his head.
"We're sorry, too," said Violet sadly.
Mr. Long looked at the gentle little girl. "I'll keep my ears open," he said. "I'll let you know if I hear anything about your man."
"Please do," said Joe.
"We're about ready."
"I want to go in the canoe with Joe,"
cried Benny, jumping up and down.
"Well, you can," said Joe, after thinking a minute.
"You are light, and I am heavy. Henry, I will take Jessie, too. You take Violet and Alice."
"That's nice," said Alice. She smiled at Violet. "I'd like to go with you, and I can help Henry paddle if he needs me.
I'll put the bag of food, the tent bag, and one blanket roll in the middle of our canoe, Benny," said Joe. "Then you sit down near them and don't move. Henry's canoe can carry the other blanket roll and the bag of dishes." When everything was loaded, Mr. Long gave the canoes a last push into the lake.
"Oh, isn't this lovely?" cried Jessie, as her canoe began to slide through the smooth blue water. "What a beautiful lake this is." She looked back to see Henry taking up his paddle. Then both canoes were on their way.
"Keep near me, Henry," Joe called back. "Then we can shout to each other."
Benny was looking at a spot in the lake.
"Is this water very deep, Joe?"
he asked. "Oh, yes, very deep."
"Is it deeper than a tree?" asked Benny, still looking at the spot.
"Oh, yes, much deeper than a tree in the middle," answered Joe, laughing. "Why do you ask?"
"Well, there's a tree growing in the lake over there, almost in the middle," cried Benny. "But it's moving."
"Moving? A tree?" cried Joe.
"Why, it's a moose. He's swimming across the lake. Those branches are his antlers, Benny. Hoo-hoo, Henry, look, a moose."
He pointed at the moose as he shouted to Henry. But the swimming animal had heard the shouts. He had seen the canoes. He turned around and began to swim as fast as he could toward the shore. When he got near the edge, he splashed through the shallow water and ran out of sight into the bushes.
"Well, well," said Jessie. "Always something interesting on a canoe trip. Wasn't he a big one, though?"
"Keep your eyes open," said Joe. "You may even see a bear."
"Really, Joe?" asked Jessie.
"Well, not right here," answered Joe. "They don't come down here very much, but we may see a bear before we go home."
"And fish," cried Jessie. "Did you see that fish jump right out of the water?"
"Yes, I did," said Joe. "He was a big fellow."
"Let's go fishing," cried Benny.
"We can't stop now," said Joe. "We'll have to paddle right along to make camp for the night." "Are you going to build a fire, Joe?" Joe smiled. "Yes, indeed," he said. "I can build a fire because I was a guide once. Nobody can build a fire in the Maine woods except a guide."
"I'm glad you're a guide then," said Benny. "What are you going to cook for supper?"
"A secret," said Joe, laughing. "And we may have company." "Yes, I think I can promise you company."
"Who in the world could it be?" Jessie asked. "You don't mean Bill, do you?"
"No, not Bill," said Joe quickly.
Then Jessie remembered that Joe had talked quietly with Mr. Long in front of the store. No one else heard a word the two men had said.
"I bet that's a secret, too," said Benny.
"Right," answered Joe. Chapter 7. Company in the Woods. Henry paddled almost as fast as Joe for about 2 hours. Then Joe could see that Henry was behind him.
"Tired, Henry?"
Joe shouted, slowing down and waiting for Henry to catch up.
"A little, Joe," Henry shouted back. "How far is it?"
"Not very far now," said Joe.
"Look over there."
He pointed at a spot down the lake.
"Three trees. Camp."
Henry saw the spot at once.
"I can paddle that far," he called back.
So they started out once more.
"It will take some time to get the camp ready for the night," Joe told Jessie.
"I want to get there long before dark."
We have to get supper, too, said Benny.
Don't forget the company, said Joe, winking at Jesse. Everyone was now looking at the three trees. As they came nearer, they could see a beach where canoes could land. Near the beach, there was an open place. Soon, with a strong push of his paddle, Joe sent his canoe up on the beach. Henry's canoe came along beside it, and Joe and Henry jumped out. They helped everyone out. Then they pulled the two canoes up on the beach, almost out of the water, and tied them to a tree.
So they won't float away, said Benny, watching.
Take everything out, cried Joe. Put it in this open place. Here's one of the best camping places in Maine.
A long wooden table all made, cried Henry.
And places to sit. That's good.
What a nice smell here, said Violet to Alice. I just love the smell of evergreen trees. It makes me think of the dear old boxcar days.
I don't see any company, though, said Benny, looking around.
Well, you will, said Joe. He seemed to be very sure. The first thing will be a campfire, because we are so hungry. The next thing will be the tents, because we will soon be sleepy.
He took out an axe. Here is a path. We'll follow it and cut down two small trees, not evergreens, though. These trees must be just right. Look at this picture. See, the top must have a fork, but the fork must be one-sided so we can drive the tree into the ground. All four children looked at the picture and started to walk down the path.
Wait a minute, said Joe. There is something else we must find. Do you see the pail hanging over the fire on a long branch? We must have a long branch like that, with a fork at the top, and another to hang our water pail on.
But trees don't grow like that, said Jesse.
All branches grow one way, don't they, Joe?
You just look around, said Joe, smiling. You might find one.
First, the children began to look for a tree that was not an evergreen. It was Violet who saw the first one. Joe said the fork was just right. Henry began to cut it down. Jesse and Benny soon found another just like it.
Joe, wait. I hear something, called Jesse suddenly.
They all stood still and listened. Far in the woods, they heard someone whistling.
Joe laughed.
Company, he said.
The whistling came nearer.
Hi, shouted Joe.
Hi, answered a deep voice.
Just then the children saw a white-haired man in a brown coat carrying a very large pack. His face was brown from the sun. His blue eyes were kind.
This is Mr. Hill, children, said Joe, smiling at the stranger. Mr. Long tells me he is one of the best guides in Maine.
Well, I wouldn't say that, laughed the man.
I suppose you are Joe Alden. Want me to build your shelter half and cook you some cornbread?
Cornbread, cried Alice. I just love cornbread.
Me too, shouted Benny. But what's a shelter half?
You would ask that, Benny, said Henry, laughing. But we don't know either.
No, cried Benny. Don't tell us after all, Mr. Hill. We'll watch you build it, and then we'll know what it is.
Not a bad idea, said Henry. Don't forget, we still have to find that branch with two forks in it.
Mr. Hill could see two or three branches like that, but he said nothing. He just smiled and let the children find a tree for themselves.
Well, well, said Henry at last, looking up at a tree. There is a branch growing both ways. I never knew they grew like that.
Cut it just below that fork, Henry, said Joe. Soon the branch was cut. Joe and Henry cut branches of evergreens and carried them back to camp for beds. Then Mr. Hill and Joe put everyone to work.
We must get everything done before the sun sets, said Mr. Hill. It gets very cold up here at night. You'll be glad of your warm blanket rolls. Benny, is that your name? You come and hold these two trees for me.
In no time,
The two little forked trees were standing in the ground with a long pole between them. The branch was soon hooked over the pole. Mr. Hill put the water pail on the hook.
"You can push this branch to one side, you see," he said. "Sometimes I get two or three to cook with."
"I can see how that works," said Benny. "The water gets hot while you cook supper."
"Is the hot water to wash dishes in?" asked Violet.
"That's right, and for anything else you want to wash." "Maybe hands," said Henry, laughing and looking at his hands.
"It's good clean dirt, though," said Benny, looking at his own hands. "Smells good, just like evergreens."
Then he forgot all about his hands, for Mr. Hill began to make the shelter half to keep the wind from the fire.
"This would keep rain out, too, if we had any rain," he said to Benny. "And this is the baker where we cook the cornbread."
"Oh, that's a funny dish," said Benny. "How does it work?"
Mr. Hill laughed. "You set it up with this open side towards the fire, see? The inside gets very hot and cooks the cornbread a fine, even brown on top. Then after supper, we can set it up on this other end and wash dishes in it."
"Well, isn't that clever?" cried Henry.
"Benny won't mind washing dishes in that." "Now somebody had better go and find some wood," said Mr. Hill. "We must get a fire going right away."
Benny jumped up and worked hard getting wood for the fire. He was getting hungry. Meanwhile, Joe and Henry put up the two small tents. Alice and Jesse laid the evergreen branches in the tents for beds.
"Where will Mr. Hill sleep?" asked Jesse.
"Oh, he has his own tent," Joe answered. "It will take him about 1 minute to put his tent up and make his bed and go sound asleep."
"I hope he won't go to sleep before he makes that cornbread," said Alice.
"We're going to have ham and eggs, too," said Mr. Hill.
"But we haven't any eggs," said Benny.
"No, but I have," said Mr. Hill with a laugh. "I brought along a few things, just for your first day. Then tomorrow morning, I have to leave you."
How delicious the ham did smell when Mr. Hill put it in the big pan and it began to get brown. Then he dropped in 12 eggs. Joe said he could eat at least 2, while Henry said he could eat 3.
"Real butter," cried Jesse, as Mr. Hill took it out.
"Do you remember the first time we had real butter in the boxcar?"
"Cornbread isn't much good without butter," said Mr. Hill.
Violet began to set the table with tin plates. Soon they were all eating their first meal in camp. At last, Joe said,
"The cornbread is gone, and the ham is gone. Can anyone stay awake long enough to wash the dishes?"
"I can, if we can use that funny dish," said Benny.
He watched Mr. Hill put the hot water from the pail into the baker.
"But I'm so sleepy I could go to sleep standing up."
Soon the dishes were washed and put away. Alice, Violet, and Jesse had one tent, and Henry, Joe, and Benny had the other. They spread their blanket rolls on the beds of evergreen boughs. Before long, the moon looked down on a sleeping camp. But softly, through the woods, walked a large black animal. He smelled people. He smelled food, too. So he walked very quietly. There was the side of bacon hanging in a tree up high. That was easy. He could stand up. Maybe he could pull it down. He loved bacon. Up went one front paw, and the bacon began to swing back and forth. The animal was not the only one awake. Mr. Hill had heard the visitor. This was the very minute he had been waiting for.
"Joe," he called from his own tent, "we have a visitor."
Joe woke up suddenly.
"I'll tell the children," he answered.
"Henry, wake up."
Then Henry was awake.
"Jesse," he whispered. Then everyone was awake.
"Oh, dear," said Violet, sitting up. "What is it?"
Chapter 8, The Lumber Camp. The moon was almost as bright as day. Mr. Hill whispered, "Look out very quietly." Very slowly, the other tent flaps opened. The children saw the large black bear, but he did not hear them or smell them. He did not smell anything but the bacon. Back and forth it swung as he hit it with his big paw.
"Don't be afraid, Violet," whispered Alice. "The bear won't hurt us. He is afraid of us."
Just then, the bacon fell at the bear's feet. Down he went on all fours again. He lay down and began to chew the bacon.
"Ho hum," thought Benny. "There goes our bacon."
Just then, Mr. Hill flashed a light in the bear's face. The bear jumped up and ran off into the woods as fast as he could run.
"Didn't he look funny?" laughed Benny. "But he left our bacon."
"That was a wonderful sight," said Henry. "I am certainly glad that Mr. Hill happened to wake up." They were soon asleep again. They did not know that Joe had asked Mr. Hill to come because he could show them a big black bear. They did not know that Mr. Hill and the bear were good friends. The bear knew that he would find food wherever Mr. Hill was. The next morning, Mr. Hill said as he and Joe made a fire, "I must leave you after breakfast. When you start off, you'll soon come to a lumber camp."
"I wish you would leave that baker to wash dishes in," said Benny.
"Yes, I brought it for you," said Mr. Hill with a smile.
He washed the bacon well and cut it in thin pieces. Soon it was cooking in the pan over the fire. Hot cereal and canned milk seemed delicious in the cold morning air. Mr. Hill made quick bread in the little baker. As soon as the bread was done, the children began to hear many blue jays in the trees.
"They want our breakfast," said Mr. Hill, looking up. "Wait until we sit down, and then see how near they will come. Throw some pieces on the ground."
The air was full of blue jays. 6 or 7 beautiful birds flew to the ground. The children could almost touch them.
"Come on, everybody," said Benny at last. "I want to see that lumber camp."
He began to pick up the dishes, making the birds fly back into the trees.
Jessie laughed. "What a housekeeper you are all of a sudden," she said. "Let's all help."
Soon the camp was all clean again. Everything was packed in the canoes, and Mr. Hill gave them each a push.
"Thanks, Mr. Hill," said Joe to his old friend.
"Thanks for everything,"
Jessie called back as the two canoes went smoothly down the lake. The children waved until Mr. Hill turned and went into the woods.
"He was nice, wasn't he?" said Violet.
"All Maine guides are nice, Violet," laughed Joe.
Fish were jumping here and there in the water beside the canoes.
"Oh, can't we go fishing today, Joe?" asked Benny.
"We'll have to go fishing," said Joe, "unless we want to eat beans for 3 days. When we get around 2 or 3 looks, we'll stop and fish."
"2 or 3 what?" asked Benny.
"Looks," replied Joe.
"See that turn in the lake? You can't see around it yet. They call that a look."
"That's a good name for it," said Jessie. "What do we fish with?"
"Didn't you see the fishing rods Mr. Hill brought us?" asked Benny.
"He brought 2, 1 for each canoe. We can take turns fishing."
"We fish with flies," Joe told them, "not real flies. I have a box of gray ghosts in my pack. They look like real flies to the fish, so they go after them and get caught."
The canoes passed the next look and the next. Then Joe called back to Henry.
"Want to stop and fish?"
"You bet," called Henry. "You'll have to show us how."
"Alice knows how," called Joe.
He stopped paddling.
"She'll show you and Violet."
The two canoes floated together as Joe and Alice each put a pretty gray ghost fly on their lines. Then Joe whipped his line out over the water.
"That's nice, Joe," cried Benny. "Isn't it easy? When you get a fish, let me try, will you?"
"Sure," said Joe, smiling.
"Sit very still now.
"Oh, look," cried Jessie. "You've got a fish, Alice. Pull it in."
"Not so fast," answered Alice. "You have to play these fellows." She pulled her line in very slowly and carefully. Everyone watched her land the large fish and take it off the hook. Then Joe caught one. Benny could hardly wait. "Now it's my turn," he cried.
"Right," said Joe. "You saw me whip the line over the water. Now you do it."
Benny took the rod. He lifted it just as Joe had done.
Whip!
Went the line. But it did not go out over the water. It went backwards over his head.
"Look out!" cried Joe to Alice.
But he was too late. The hook caught fast in her hair and pulled it down over her face.
"Oh, Alice, your pretty smooth hair," said Violet. "I'm sorry, Alice," called Benny. "I don't see how I did that."
"Never mind," said Alice. "I ought to have been watching. Everyone misses the first time. Violet will soon get the hook out." Violet leaned over at once and worked the hook out.
"Don't do that again, Benny," she said.
"It's not as easy as it looks, Benny, to whip that line out," said Jessie. "You better let Joe do the fishing."
"No, not at all," Joe answered. "Let him try again. He ought to learn."
Benny fished and fished, but he found it worthwhile when he caught 3 trout. He looked at every spot on the fish as if he had made it himself. At last, Joe said, "We have enough fish now. The men at the lumber camp will want to feed us, but it's nice to have our own food, too."
"See the logs in the water over there?" said Alice.
"The men at the camp roll the logs into the water, and they float down by themselves." When the children started off again, they began to hear the sound of axes. Soon they could hear a great crash when a tree fell. At last they heard a lumberman calling to them, "Hi! Hi!" They all waved to him. "Paddle in, Henry," said Joe. "We'll stay here tonight." The man seemed very glad to see them. Right away he asked them to stay to dinner.
"Yes, we'll be glad to," said Joe. "We have a lot of fish here, but we'd like to put up our tents in your camp for the night."
"Fine," said the man who was the boss. "Hi, Cookie, we have company." The cook looked up with a laugh. "Come in, stay as long as you want. You like beans?"
Benny went up to the cook.
"We just love beans," he said, "but we got a lot of fish. I'll show you the ones I caught."
"You can't tell them apart," said Henry.
"Oh, yes, I can," said Benny. "I caught 3, and I know every one. I caught this one, and this one, and this one."
"They look just alike to me," said Cookie with a smile. "Cook them for the little boy, Cookie," said the boss. "Fix them all up."
When dinner was ready, Cookie let Benny ring the bell. The lumbermen came crashing through the bushes.
"They always hurry that way to their dinner," said Cookie.
The men made room for the visitors. There were 3 tables full of people. Baked beans and quick bread made a fine dinner. After dinner, the boss said,
"You show the visitors how we cut the trees, Bill."
"Bill," whispered Violet to Joe.
They all looked to see which man was Bill. But they knew right off it was not the Bill they were hunting for. He was too young. The afternoon went by too quickly. After a supper of their cooked fish, they went to bed in their own tents. The lumbermen had little log houses.
"Don't be surprised if you hear porcupines," said the boss.
"They like the grease around here, and they come most every night."
"What do they sound like?" asked Henry.
"Like pigs," said the boss. "They squeal and they chew. When they chew, it sounds like someone sawing wood."
When the camp was quiet, Henry woke up suddenly. He thought it was morning and the men were sawing. Then he heard many loud squeals and said to himself, "It's porcupines." But the squeals had wakened all the rest, and both tent doors opened.
"What a noise," whispered Jessie. "Where are they?"
See that ball? Asked Alice. Right by the table? That is a porcupine. He is chewing the table to get the grease. There were 5 porcupines in all, eating and squealing. When the children had watched them for a long time, Joe said, "We must get our sleep. They'd better go." Then he flashed a light at them. They rolled into balls and kept very still. But when Joe flashed the light again, they went hurrying away into the woods. "Well," said Jessie, lying down again, "we see our most interesting sights in the middle of the night." "I hope they won't come back," said Alice, "because Joe says tomorrow will be a hard day." But even Joe had no idea how hard the next day was going to be. Chapter 9. Almost Starving. After the day in the lumber camp, the morning seemed to come in no time. Then men were awake and working before the sun. When everyone was dressed, Joe took the children to find the boss. "I wonder if you ever heard of a man named Bill McGregor," he said to the boss. "He's lost," said Benny.
"Lost? How old a man?"
"About 70 now," answered Joe. "He has been gone for many years, but we just found a letter saying he might have gone on Bear Trail."
"This is part of Bear Trail," said the boss.
"Yes, I know," said Joe. "That's why we came. This Bill was a very strong man, so I thought maybe he had worked years ago in lumber camps."
"Well, I'll ask my men," said the boss. "I'll find a way to let you know if I hear anything."
"We are going to stop at Old Village," said Joe. "If you do hear anything about this man, send someone down by canoe. I'll pay for it."
"I guess not," laughed the boss. "Too bad if I couldn't help you out. I'll be glad to let you know anything I hear. You have 2 looks and a carry before you get to Old Village Lake."
"Breakfast," called Cookie, ringing the bell.
Soon the men were eating great plates of quick bread. But Cookie had made beautiful brown pancakes for the visitors. They ate them with butter and brown sugar.
"I'll help paddle today, Henry," said Alice.
"Thanks," said Henry. "We'll get along faster that way." After breakfast, everything was packed up again and put in the canoes. The children did not forget to thank Cookie and the kind lumber boss. Very soon they were on their way down the lake. The day was beautiful. They saw 2 interesting things. They paddled around the first look and saw a moose swimming to shore as fast as he could. Around the next look, they saw a beautiful deer standing in the bushes.
"I like to go around these looks," cried Benny. "I'm glad we came. Now, what's next, Joe?"
"Well," answered Joe with a funny smile, "soon we'll get out and carry the canoes." He winked at Jessie.
"Can I carry one?" asked Benny.
"No, certainly not," said Joe. "Henry and Alice will carry one with the thing still in it. That will be right side up. Then I will carry the other upside down on my head. You and Violet will have to carry some bags. Not as much fun as you think. You see, this lake stops just ahead, but there is a very big lake not far from here. That's the last lake for us." Henry and Joe soon pulled both canoes up on the shore. Alice took one end of a canoe under her arm, and Henry took the other. Benny laughed and laughed as Joe put the other canoe upside down on his head and walked off down the path. Benny and Violet came after with the bags. It was not very far, and Alice was glad, because the canoe was heavy. Everyone sat down by the next lake to rest.
"What a beautiful day this is," cried Jessie. She could not help it. The lake was the biggest one they had seen. The water was very blue, and the trees were very dark green.
"Let's rest a long time," said Joe. "We have a long canoe trip ahead of us. There are not many good places to land for dinner." But at last he got up, and they were on their way again. This time they did not paddle out to the middle of the lake. It was too far.
"Stay near land, Henry," said Joe. "Then we won't have so far to paddle."
But when he said this, he did not know how lucky they were going to be. The two canoes were going along smoothly. Nobody thought of rain. Suddenly, Joe looked up at the sky.
"Look up, Henry," he called.
Just at that minute, the wind began to blow. All of a sudden, the smooth lake was very black. Soon it was all covered with small waves, then big ones. For one long minute, Joe stopped paddling and looked sharply along the shore.
"Get to shore, Henry," he shouted. "Just as fast as you can. Land between those two large trees."
He had to shout, for the wind was making a terrible noise. They turned both canoes. By now, they could hardly sit up. Alice paddled without a word. Henry's canoe went first. Then it began to rain. The rain fell so fast that in one minute they were all wet through. But they thought of nothing but getting to shore.
"You can make it, Henry," yelled Joe. "There's room for both of us to land. Get over to one side."
Henry and Alice paddled under the branches of the two trees and drove their canoe up into a very small opening. "Get out quickly," cried Alice. "Pull our canoe out of Joe's way so he can land too." They did so. Even Violet helped. Then they waved to Joe.
"Okay," he shouted as he began to paddle straight in.
Just then a big wave hit his canoe sideways and washed the bags of food and dishes into the lake.
"Never mind," he yelled. "Let them go, Benny, and sit still."
Then with one strong push, he drove his canoe up beside Henry's. He looked at his young wife, who was very white.
"Thank goodness," said Alice. "We are all safe."
She put her arm around Violet, who was shaking with fright. "We'll have to do something right away," said Henry, taking one look at his gentle little sister. "We're really in a fix. All our food is gone."
"Are we going to starve, Joe?" asked Benny.
"Starve? No. But I guess we're going to be very hungry."
"Just almost starve?" said Benny.
"Let's not stand here in the rain talking," said Jessie. "We still have our tents and our blankets, and we still have our shelter half. We must think of some way to get Violet dry and warm."
"I'm all right," said Violet,
but she did not look all right. She was still shaking. Henry and Joe looked around. They could see nothing but trees and bushes. There was no path. There was no other open place. "Not a very good place to land or make a camp," said Henry, much worried.
"All woods and bushes," said Benny. "But we could cut down some trees and bushes. We still have our axe."
"Thank goodness for that," said Henry. "Let's have it."
"Don't cut here," said Joe. "The ground is too wet for a camp. Let's try to find a better place. You go that way, Henry, and I'll go this. Hunt around and don't get lost." Before long, they both came crashing back. But now Joe was smiling. "Water," he shouted. "There's a spring up there and quite a good place. We can make it do. We'll have to. We won't need to cut down many bushes, and there is room for the tents and a fire."
"How can you build a fire in the rain?" asked Benny.
"Don't forget we have the shelter half," said Joe. "You bring in some big stones and some dry wood, and you'll see."
"All the wood is wet," said Benny.
"Not on the underside, it isn't," Henry told him. "Look at Jessie with that axe."
As fast as Jessie cut down bushes, Alice pulled them away. Joe and Henry put up Mr. Hill's shelter half as fast as they could. Soon Joe had a fire going. He made Violet sit down before it, putting a blanket over her knees.
"Thank you, Joe," said the little girl. "The fire feels so nice and warm."
She did not shake anymore.
"Good," cried Henry. "That shelter half is wonderful. It keeps the wind off the fire, too."
"Can I go back to the canoes and see if I can find any food?" asked Benny.
"Good boy," said Joe. "A fine idea. You may be a Maine guide yet." I'll go with you, Benny, said Alice suddenly after a look at Joe. We might even get hold of one bag. Off they went, while Joe and Henry put up the tents. The big trees kept off a lot of the rain, and the inside of the tents was quite dry. Jessie took the blanket rolls inside before she took off the straps. Anyway, she said, we have a warm, dry place to sleep, even if we don't have anything to eat. Joe was thinking. He was worried. He knew it would be hard for the children to go a whole day and night without eating. Meanwhile, two people were really having fun, Alice and Benny. They could see the one bag of food as it lay under the water not far from shore. The wind was blowing so hard that every wave brought the bag nearer to them.
If I could only get hold of it, said Benny. It has potatoes and tin cans in it. Let's have the fishing rod.
You'd break it, said Alice. Here's a long stick.
Please let me walk into the lake, Alice, begged Benny. I'm as wet as I can be already. I don't have to go in very far.
Well, all right, said Alice slowly. It isn't very deep here. Go easy now.
What a funny feeling that was.
Benny stepped into the lake very slowly. He went in up to his knees. He had the big stick in one hand, and he held the branches of the trees with the other. He tried and tried to get hold of the bag. He did not give up until he had hooked the stick into the handle of the bag. Then he pulled carefully. The bag almost floated. Then he caught it with his hand and pulled it to shore.
Oh, Benny, dear, cried Alice. She was so glad she almost cried. How glad Joe will be.
They both took hold of the bag and pulled it to camp.
Look here, shouted Benny. Potatoes! Wonderful! Potatoes, they all said.
They opened the bag and took out what was left. Their flour was gone, the salt was gone, the sugar was gone, but there were the potatoes and all the cans of milk.
No dishes, said Benny. They were all in the other bag.
Never mind dishes, cried Violet. Just think of having potatoes, Benny. We can cook potatoes without any dishes. It was long past noon, and everyone began to work.
Roll the potatoes into the fire right here, said Joe. They will burn, but never mind. We have to eat something. We can put spring water in the milk and drink that, too.
How can we put spring water into a can of milk? Benny asked. It's full of milk already. Henry had an idea. He rushed off to his own canoe. Soon he was back with the water pail and his big knife.
Now we've got a dish, he said. We can put the milk and water in this pail, and we'll open the milk cans with this knife.
Then the cans will be empty, broke in Benny.
And we can use them for cups, finished Jessie.
Well, said Benny, anyway, we're not starving, just almost starving.
Chapter 10. Potato Camp. It's better to lose the food than the tents, isn't it, Joe? Asked Jessie.
It certainly is, answered Joe, feeding the fire. We will get along all right for one night. This rain will stop as suddenly as it began. I think by tomorrow morning we can get back on the lake.
Jessie thought that out. Does that mean we must have dinner and supper and breakfast here, Joe?
Joe winked at her. Right, he said. But I guess we won't have much breakfast.
Let's eat half the potatoes for dinner and the rest for supper, said Jessie, thinking.
But we have no butter and no salt, just potatoes.
Better than nothing, Jess, said Henry, looking at his sister. You always make the best of things. Now, let's get lots of wood. We can't get much wetter. Then when we do get dry, we won't have to go out in the rain again.
By the time the potatoes were done, there was a big pile of wood in Joe's tent, and there were six hungry people sitting by the fire. With a long stick, Joe and Henry pulled the potatoes out of the fire.
Two each, said Jessie. She gave them out. That is, she rolled two potatoes to each one.
Now, let's put the canned milk in the water pail with some spring water.
"What a dinner!" cried Benny. "I don't like canned milk when I'm home, but it tastes all right here." It was certainly queer not to have any dishes except a water pail and milk cans. But even as the wind kept on blowing and the rain kept on falling, everyone was very happy to have tin cups and a water pail. "We are pretty lucky to have anything to eat," said Violet. "If you hadn't found the bag, Benny, we wouldn't be eating now." The children opened the hot potatoes with sticks. They ate them with small sticks. "Awfully hot, aren't they?" said Henry, burning his fingers. "But aren't they delicious?" "We have to eat slowly this time," said Joe. "Make them last as long as you can." "No dishes to wash," said Benny. "Too bad we lost that funny little baker." Then Joe said, "Let me tell you just what we have to do, children." Everyone looked up and listened. "This is a very long lake, as you see," began Joe. "But if we start very early tomorrow morning, we ought to get to the end of our trip before noon." "Where do we come out, Joe?" asked Jesse. "We come out in a very small village," answered Joe. "When I was here, there were only a few houses and a store." "What is the name of this place?" asked Henry. "I don't think it has any real name," said Joe, thinking. "They just call it Old Village. Most of it is very old. Only one or two houses were built when the Indians lived there." "After we get to Old Village, you don't know where to go next?" asked Benny. "No, I don't," said Joe. "That is the end of Bear Trail." "Well, never mind," said Henry. "Something is sure to happen. We may find the tin box or even Bill. I can hardly wait to find clues." Joe did not answer. He was thinking. "I do wish we had saved some of our fish from yesterday," said Jesse. "We had enough left to go with our potatoes for supper." "That's all right, Jesse," said Benny, taking his last drink of milk. "I'm not hungry at all." They all laughed.
"That's because you have just eaten your dinner," said Violet. "You'll be hungry again at supper time, and then again at breakfast."
"Okay," said Benny. "Then I suppose we'll really starve without any breakfast at all."
"Not quite," said Alice, smiling at the boy. The wind was still blowing and the rain still came down. The children put sticks on the fire and drank the spring water in the pail. Jesse had washed out the tin cans and they drank water because the milk was all gone. After a supper of potatoes, they were all glad to go to bed. They were still hungry, but they were warm and dry. From his tent, Joe called good night to the girls. Then he said, "Notice the wind?"
"What's the matter with the wind, Joe?" asked Benny, sitting up. "Oh, I see what you mean. There isn't any."
"That's right," said Joe, laughing. "It has just stopped blowing. Tomorrow will be a fine day, I think. Just you wait and see." But Benny sat up again. He called out, "Hi, Jesse!"
"What do you want, Benny?" Jesse called back. "Let's call this potato camp, because we didn't eat anything here but potatoes."
After that, the children always called it potato camp.